Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hello and welcome. Welcome everybody to Nightlight Matrix. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we call, laughingly I might add, creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and hopefully wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once more. We go by different titles, by different names. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, and querents. Journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and the list, well, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our very own individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness of all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, take a load off, share your lights with us, and join in the love and the light and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with my guest tonight, hopefully, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that very amazing voice, which I would love to bottle. I am at barbaradelong.com, and my guest tonight is Grant Collier. I hope he's someplace here. I haven't seen him call in yet, but I'll cross my fingers along with you, hopefully. He's at... let me see, www.grantcollier.co.uk. I, being the effective, efficient person I am, I didn't get his phone number. So I am going to play some music here while I see if I can find him in the queue. And I will be shortly back. So enjoy Cynthia Jordan and Greensleeves, and I'll see if I can go find Grant. Thank you. Okay, I'm back. I haven't found Grant yet, but, you know, after all, he's coming from England, so you never know. The planes could be, you know, offline, or he might have taken the wrong plane, actually. So we'll just hold back and wait a while. Let me explain to you how I came in contact with him, because it's kind of interesting. As most of you know, I got my training in the Spiritualist Church, and so I am definitely what you would call old school medium. And it's been an interesting journey, and I am so much in love with old school mediums like Lizzie Starr, like James, like so many of the people around here. And so when I find another medium that resonates with me, it's kind of exciting. And Grant Collier is that kind of a person. He has his own Blog Talk Radio show. It's called Above and Beyond. And he is a rather amazing, energetic person. He's been working in the field for, 25, 30 years or so. And he is a very exciting man. He is probably one of the most prolific people out there. He's talented and just absolutely one of the loveliest people that I have ever listened to work. I've never had the opportunity to actually work with him, and he will be working with me tomorrow. We'll be doing readings tomorrow, and with me on the show. But today is just going to be a show to sort of let people get to know him, get to know about him, and we're going to thanks, Chris. I actually Skyped. I typed into Skype. I'm getting so highly technical. I'm so proud of myself. No, there won't be any readings today. The readings will be tomorrow. And today we're going to learn about Grant. We're going to sort of I hope I do this right. Hi, Grant. Can you hear me? Not really. He's calling on Skype, and that's not working. That's not going to work. Hold on a second. Oh, I sound like Chris. I have so many things here. I wish I was as technical as Bear is. She's probably laughing like crazy. Hi, Grant. Can you hear me? I can hear you. Now I'm going to see if I can figure out how to make this work on the air. Okay, so I got Skype on. Let me see. Okay, so Grant, say something and we'll see if they hear you.
Hello, and this is Grant Collier, and I'm live from London.
Okay, can you people hear him in the chat room? He's far away. Okay, I'll see if I can see. I know what I'll do. Let me see. Okay, Grant, talk again.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you guys hear him? Is that better? Okay, they're telling me the volume is too low. Okay. Yes, thank you. Okay, let's say hello, introduce yourself one more time. I have volume up all over the place.
Okay, my darling. Hello, guys. This is Grant Collier, and I'm calling live from London. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, chat room, can you hear that? Okay, they say it's great now. All right.
Brilliant.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I was telling everybody how you and I, you know, have a similar type of background. My training has been in the Spiritualist Church, but that, of course, was all from English mediums coming over here and training us here, so that I resonate totally to your training, how you do readings and stuff like that. It's very exciting to find other people that actually have the same direction as I do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was very naturally born as the medium. Basically, I was seeing spirit at the age of six. So for me, it was pretty much more nurtured directly from spirit than going out there and getting the training. But yeah, I did work the platform for many years through the spiritualist churches here in the UK, especially down in towards London and the southeast in Kent. But yeah, no, it was something that took me on, and obviously when you're pulled into this path, you get into the energy of the circles and the groups and people on the circuit here in the UK through the spiritualist movement. And that for me very much led me to going into my own stuff, really, and doing my own demonstrations and that, Barbara. So yeah, it sort of led me from there, and then that took me into the bigger scale, working with them full time.
Well, it's amazing when spirit takes over your life, because I know it did that with me too. It just sort of arranged a car accident so that suddenly I was in this field full time, whether I wanted to be or not. Mm-hmm. And I find that those people who are, gosh, the most professional, I guess I have to say, are really called to the field. I mean, there are lots of people out there. I met somebody the other day who said she was a medium, and I said, well, how long have you been in training? And she said, well, I took a workshop last weekend. And I said, seriously, that makes you a small, not a medium. I said, there's a bit of training and practice that goes into it as well. So I said, it would be very wise of you to not go around announcing that you're a medium, because somebody may have, be foolish enough to ask you to prove it, and then you're in deep shit trouble.
Well, actually, this is a question that was put forward to me on a radio show last week. You know, what is the difference between being a sensitive and a medium? Well, the medium has to learn through the process of time, and that takes a long time, to understand the process behind the energy of just validation. You know, so many people can pick up, we're all connected in one way, shape or form to spirit, and we can get messages from spirit on the energy of maybe a validation of a name or whatever. But, you know, validation is a small key of the message. You know, the message is a lot greater than that. And putting over that empathy and learning how to construct your reading from spirit is something that's also part of that process as well. So, you know, when we talk about being medium light workers, we have to understand the processes behind the other side and how it works. So otherwise, like you say, you will get shot in the foot, and there'll be many people out there that will question you of your knowledge of the spirit world, and that's something that I feel that is important that people realise before they get carried away and go, oh, I'm now the medium, I'm working as the medium.
Yes. Well, you know, I think it's better to, and I love the fact that you call yourself a universal medium. I call myself a spiritual empath. So that I think at some point in time we get to a point or a place where the traditional labels don't fit, don't feel right, don't feel that they give us enough elbow room to really become what is really important.
Well, this is it. Because for me, I was always the universal energy. And for me, I had a real pull to the energy of the stars in the sky. And it wasn't really until around about 8 years ago that I really found out that more about the starseed energy and where my pull to the Orion and the energy of the Sirius star really sort of grabbed me and got more information on a higher consciousness with my work. So my work changed a hell of a lot around about 8 or 9 years ago when this process started to come in. Because, yeah, I'd always been the platform medium. Yes, I recognised that spirit were an energy that were coming through from another existence, may you class it heaven, paradise, or whatever you want to call it. Yes, I got that, because I feel that we've always been inbred within that energy that there was a God and there was this single God and there was this place that we were going to go to. And, you know, when we look at it and what the information that I was getting around that time is that, you know, we're in a universe, so there's this universal energy of dimensions, you know, and it's not just one dimensional place where we go to. There's many dimensional places before we get to that residual energy of the other side. So, you know, a light worker's job isn't just being the medium and being the mediator between Earth and the residual or the physical plane and the residual. The medium lightworker's job is also to construct the energy of helping spirit that are trapped in other dimensional areas of between here and the other side. So when we look at spirit as a whole, it's not up and above us and down below us. It's out around us like layers of an onion. So energy levels, when we think of spirit, when we do mediumship, spirit comes in from the side. Our higher consciousness guides, and I know that John Edward explained this very well, one of his shows, that when we talk to our guides, these are the higher beings or the higher energies that may have never walked the earth plane, then we feel that energy coming from above us, like a shower coming down on us of information. But when we get the mediumship, it's coming in from the energy of the side. So there's a different process within the two different types of energy. And that's something that I had found through a lot of my work, that these energies are different within the way that they communicate. You know, the physical energies that have left the physical the energies that have left the physical plane and gone into these other dimensions do come backing on that side energy. So you feel them coming in on the side. Where my guide, Michael, who's never walked the earth plane, comes in above me, and I get the information like it's pouring on my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do find that you're right. When I do listen for spirit, it is coming from the side. But if I am working at channeling, it comes from a different space and a different area. And
yeah.
And then there's the interdimensional aspect of it that is totally, absolutely different. Because then that part, the interdimensional stuff, when I play with that energy, then I am in the center of it, and it is all around me and within me. It almost vibrates my body. It's really a cool thing. Every now and then somebody asks me to do a reading, that they say, let it rip, and then I just open my mouth and stuff pours out like crazy, and that's when I get into that interdimensional stuff that is quite so profound. I'm finding that energy is changing, that energy is shifting, and people's direction and purposes seem to be changing as well. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, you talk about starseeds and universal light workers, and so many people today call themselves a light worker, and I'm not sure they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, it just blows my mind that okay, you're a light worker. What does that mean to you? You know.
Well, light worker is that we're all light at the end of the day. Even as a physical energy of living this life, we hold a light within inside us. And this is a light that spirit can see and can be drawn to as much as the voice vibration within the energy of when we're speaking out or calling out for energy, say, within a paranormal investigation. So light workers are people that work with the light as much as in helping spirit that are trapped within the dimensions that are outside or in between this dimension and the residual or what we class as heaven and paradise. So we can go into the energy of them light and pull them forward and help them across. So we work with the light in different ways. So energy of spirit is like a light. So within that process, we can help out through many dimensions of helping as much as being the mediator on this side, as much as we can help on, you know, the residual side and people that are here trapped in a turmoil of devastation within loss or needing guidance on this side as well. So we're all light as a whole, but light workers are working with light on every different dimension. So that's why I class myself as a light worker, because I don't work just within that energy of giving over the messages. You know, this is about protection as well, and bringing down different energy of light. You know, we work with the white light, bring that in. We bring the protection light in, which is the gold light. And these are all different ways that we work as a light worker. And this is something that I feel is very important. You know, we don't, starseed energy, you know, is no different from the energy of an earth light worker. So somebody that works on a very earthly field. But it's just that with the starseed energy, they feel that they, you know, that their energy has come from the universal energy. I'm very much the Sirian, so I work on the Sirian energy. I mean, I don't know much about all these starseeds. I know you've got the Palladians out there and all these others, but because I only work with the Sirian energy, and that's something very much that I've got more knowledge about than I have within the energy of the other starseed energies.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because the more and more that I work with this and going into the different levels of energy that are out there, and by levels I don't mean higher or lower, it's just that they're different channels.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, you when you're working with the interdimensional stuff, that's one channel, and when you're working with the spirit realm, that's another channel, and when you're doing a reading and getting information, that's yet another channel. So it's been fascinating for me to see the difference between the different energies and the subtleties of them, and how in some cases you're getting a more personal type of philosophy or energy, and then you go to the interdimensional stuff, and it's just so profoundly philosophical, dealing with the species and our place within a solar system or a cosmic brotherhood, as opposed to just this particular dimension and our race as you know, as humans.
Well, this is it, because, you know, I work alongside a radio host who's with me on Virtual Visions FM, and Ara Parisian, I met her, and we knew exactly that we were both the Sirian energy, and she worked for the Council of 12, and I worked with the Higher Council as well. When we got talking about this for the first time, she was like, wow, you know, you're on this same energy level as me, and there's this deeper understanding which comes through on this inner vibration. This higher consciousness of understanding, which goes way beyond the mediumship. What I mean by that is that it's not just about the connection between spirit and here. It's also about the energy of, you know, the higher consciousness, the stuff that is more out there on these dimensional links, hologram worlds, you know, the matrix as a whole, within the energy of, like, the deeper stuff, that what we look around, when we look around us, we're only seeing what we see within what we've been blocked out to over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That TV, radio, the government, or whatever might have, you know, blinded us to within the truth of opening up and looking on this deeper vibration.
Yeah, it's just, I think that more and more today people are becoming a little more comfortable with the spirit realm, the fact that that we are not, we're not humans on a spirit journey, we're spirits on a human journey. So that,
absolutely.
So that you know, it's sort of like the body is a vehicle. It is not something that goes through time with us. And the fact that we are able to go through time, and that we do have access to past life information, which is, you know, fascinating, and it gives us a greater depth of understanding of our purpose this lifetime. And you know, the fact that we are spirits, we're not, you know, yes, we're in a human body, but there is a greater purpose that's ongoing. It puts even this life into a different perspective, and the stupidity of politics and the power plays and the corporate structures and all of that, they don't seem to be as important, because they lose their are no longer looming over us, because they are just a piece of this reality that really only has relevance to this time frame.
Well, absolutely, because as we know, this life is a test. You know, this life is the test for what comes in with the next dimensional life. And, you know, how many times do we walk this test? You know, many people have talked to me about, you know, reincarnation. Well, when we look at the energy of the energy as itself, you know, you can be reincarnated and still have the energy of that person on the other side. So we could have reincarnated so many times, because it's an energy, it can split itself like electricity so many times. So say, for instance, somebody comes to me and goes, oh, well, you know, how can my grandfather be on the other side if he is reincarnated to this side? Well, one, we've got to remember that, one, we're in linear time, so we only go within what time and dimension is within what we know as the earthly. And two, that we've got this, you know, when we talk to spirit, talk about time as being a much misunderstood energy that what we don't understand. But what I have learned and what I do know from the energy of talking to the higher beings is that, you know, we can split that energy. You know, this is the reason why I can stand here, do a mediumship reading for somebody across to Australia, have their father next to me and still have their father next to them at the same time, and it can split within that energy so many different times. Because it's not a physical thing, and what we don't realise is we can't get our head around is coming away from this physicality. That people don't understand that spirit is a completely different way of life. And I think this is why, even though we're learning and evolving every day, as human beings in this physical world, the fact of the matter is we lose concept of the fact that, you know, that this is only a short space of time towards the energy of what spirit are seeing within our test. You know, to us, it's a lifetime. To them, it's 5 minutes. So, you know, how many times do we sit there and do a mediumship reading and people and spirit will come through and say to our loved ones, we're okay on the other side. We're just worried about getting you through the guidance of life. Because they are fine. They're in a better place. They haven't got their energy of harm around us. And we are in that physicality of life that we've got to get through that feels like, you know, like a day can be like a year. A year can be like 10 years. Because we're going through that turmoil of tests and emotions. And this is something that, you know, I think that a lot of people out there really have to understand that we are something that continues on and on and on and on. And energy never dies. It can pull its energy back or it can fade, but it rebuilds itself. A bit like the universe. The universe, its energy will change. It's pulling in or it might slow down, but it doesn't mean to say that it'll end. It will start up again. So that's no different from the energy of what we are within that energy of the universe. We are part of that process. We are an energy that is ongoing. As much as where spirit may pull their energy back and then come forward again, that's the same way.
Well, are you familiar with the children's story, Horton Hears the Who?
No, I'm not, but now I've heard of it, I'm going to look it up.
Well, Horton Hears the Who is a story about an elephant, Horton, who hears a sound coming from a piece of pollen, actually, that's resting on a flower. And
yep.
And the whole world of this culture called the Who live on this dust particle. And you know, in order to save their world because they don't want to get trampled, they all get together and they all yell very loud, and Horton hears them and saves them. And I sometimes wonder if humanity of its own thinks it's the elephant, and I'm beginning to think that we're the Who.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's very interesting because when you think about how the Buddhist monks foresee life, the Buddhist monks say that, you know, first of all, we've become a cell within a plant. Then we become the leaf of a plant. Then our next life will become a stem of a plant. Then we are that plant. And then we will be like a cell of an animal. Then we go on and become that organ. And then we become, you know, a leg of an animal. And then we become the animal. And it continues on till we get to this human state and where we are now. And I find that it's very interesting. The fact is that, you know, when we think about human life, it is very unique. It is very, you know, this planet is very unique, because if it sat another couple of miles away from the sun, then there'd be certain energies of life that wouldn't live on this planet. You know, we've only got to go another degree and a half and we've lost our coral reefs. You know, it is a very unique energy, this planet. So it makes you think to yourself, okay, was this meant to be placed for a reason, this particular, you know, planet within this solar system? You know, was life meant to be here? Is this something that was set out for this test, for this dimensional learning of something that we had to go through? And I'm a great believer within the energy, as much as being the medium and the platform worker and working with the energy of spirit, that there is a hell of a lot more out there in this universe that we don't understand or we don't know about yet. And I think that that is not just within the energies of physical stuff that we see. I'm talking about energies on other levels, other dimensions within gases and formations of stars and planets. There is this big high vibration since 2012 of a lot of stuff going on, you know, activity in the sky. You know, there's been talk of a lot of UFO sightings, bits and pieces. I mean, what are UFOs to us? Are they something that Hollywood has brought up? You know, are aliens depicted to be these nasty people? Are they angels, no different to ourselves, that come in from other energies, that have the energy to come through a portal, a bit like, you know, spirit come through a portal energy? You know, this is what we've got to open our eyes at. This is what we've got to look outside the box and say to ourselves, maybe there is more to what we see just when we look up in the sky as just stars and satellites and bits and pieces. There is so much more to into the energy of dimensional feelings. I mean, how many times have you looked at the sky and then suddenly you get these things flashing around in your eyes, bits and pieces, and you think to yourself, oh, what am I seeing there? Maybe that was something, maybe that wasn't. But was that something being shown through my psyche, i.e. my clairvoyance? You know, there's a lot of things there. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm just one person out of many people, as you well know, Barbara, that talk about these energies of, you know, a universal type. You know, many great films come from these things, a little bit like, you know, we're going a little bit to the extreme of Hollywood, but we look at the energies of Avatar. You know, Avatar is depicted as these blue people in this dreamland of where they were cat-type people, like warrior tribes. Well, the Syrians are depicted to be like a blue alien, and they are meant to be, like, come from the energy of the cat tribe. So, you know, why are these things being documented into movies? Why are they being talked about now? Who knows? But there is this ongoing feeling that there's going to be more and more and more come forward over the space from where 2012 coming to the energy of where they said to me back 9 years ago that 2016 would be the time when we would really understand where things were going. So there would be this four-year process of where people would really open up over that four-year span.
Oh, yeah. Well, I fall on the side of, I don't know where to even start. I've seen a UFO. It came close enough to me so that I could have read the VIN number if it had had one.
Yeah.
I'm probably within 100 feet of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe in them. It's hard to not. But I do fall in on the side of I do believe that the industry, the commercial industry, all of the science fiction that is going out there now, I don't believe in evil aliens. I don't believe in them. But it seems to me that if you take a look at the movies and even the books that are coming out now, if you look back 20 years and at Star Trek, for instance, how the doors open and shut as people came up to them. Now, at that time, it was innovative, but it happens all the time now, and we accept it as though it was normal. I truly believe that the movie industry are putting things out there to get humanity ready to accept things as natural for when they happen. So I do believe that we were put here for a good reason, to grow, to evolve, to open to the potential of the cosmos that's out there. And I think that there are shifts in the awareness that happen at almost, now it's almost a daily occurrence where there is a shift, there's an aha moment, there's something that happens that people begin to understand and look at things and grasp a bigger picture is out there. A long time ago, the government did a study that basically they were looking into if the United States, I guess it was for the United States, if people knew there were actually aliens and UFOs, there would be mass hysteria. That's not the case now. And in China, in Mexico, in lots of different parts of the world, it's an accepted thing. Now, certainly if they wanted to eat our brains or you know, rape our women, they would have done it long ago. So, you know.
Well, there was this talk years ago, and this was something that was said through history, that a lot of people talked about Jesus being the spaceman.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this energy that Jesus was taken up on Mount Zion and taken away, that he had this connection to the higher beings. Were they energies of a god or an alien? You know, what was it? They don't know. And the thing was, is that they talked about the fallen angels, and the fallen angels that also fell from the heavens and landed around the energy of Mount Zion at that time. Now, Mount Zion, and this is scientifically proven, because this was actually on the History Channel here in the UK, that Mount Zion sits 33 degrees latitude from the equator. Now, when we think of 33, we look at it as a master number, okay? 22, 11, and 33 is all master numbers. When you run a ring right around the Earth, okay, on that same circumference, on the 33 degrees, it sits precisely on Roswell, Arizona, where Area 51 is. Now, that is quite shocking, isn't it, when you think about that there's some similarities there. The fact of the matter was that there was this great talk that the angels fell from the heavens. Were they angels? Were they aliens? Who knows? But the fact was that they did say, you know, that these aliens had gone out and they had, you know, or these angels had gone out and they were, you know, making love to the females of the earthly energy, and this is where the DNA changed over the years, and where people now have got this energy to, you know, DNA linked.
Yeah.
Genetically, there is some feedback going back to the energy of that time. I mean, how believable that is, we don't know. But there's a hell of a lot that's descriptive within the Bible. I mean, if we look at the early scriptures of the Bible there, you'll see on a lot of the pictures there is UFOs there that are pictured in the drawings around these biblical times. You know, if we go back to the energies of Egypt, you know, Egypt has got many hieroglyphics on that is drawn on their pyramids of aliens. Energy, you know, when we look at the energy of Orion and Orion's belt, it does specifically sit in line, and scientifically it's proven that it sits in line with the energy of the three pyramids of Giza. And the three pyramids of Giza, you know, when we think about the three pyramids of Giza, the actual Khufu's tomb, which is a massive pyramid that sits right at the very top there, that sits precisely magnetic north. And the little pyramid that is the smaller one out of three sits precisely magnetic south. Now, because they're at a slant, the reason being is that the Earth's axis tilts at 23 degrees, exactly the same as Orion's belt. Now, Orion and Orion's belt is in the solar system just off the energy of Sirius, which is the Sirian energy, the blue star, the dog star. So a lot of people are saying, why is the Sirius energy so important? Where maybe the Palladian energy is not so as big within the energy of what's being talked about at the moment. Well, you know, I've asked this question to Spirit many times, and they said, well, depending on where the star and the constellation sit at that time, that's where that energy is most important and apparent. Well, at the moment in 2012, and scientifically again, this has only happened, and this hasn't happened for 42,000 years, guys, that the constellation of Orion and the belt actually sat precisely over the pyramids of Giza. And actually the constellation of Leo come into a line and sat precisely over the Sphinx in 2012. So there's a lot of links there where you think to yourself, well, okay, that is quite remarkable, really, when you think about it. But there has been a lot of talk around the energy of the Sirian energy. I know that, you know, at the moment there's a film out there called The Sirius Project or something, and this was brought forward by Stephen Greer and a great medium out there called David Wilcox in America as well, that is studying the energy of this particular alien that they found out in a desert somewhere. I think it was in Europe, but they found this little small alien. Okay, and this little small alien, you know, sits around about 8 inches tall, believe it or not. But yeah, they think this is a Sivian alien. So it's a bit covered up at the moment, but you can look at it and go and look out there on YouTube and find more about it. But it is interesting now how more and more energies are coming forward and talking and tapped into the energy more of this universal energy.
Oh,
and this is something that has come forward more in my work than just being that platform medium and going from sort of earth to heaven. You understand what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I know that for a long time, my work was basically platform and doing readings and stuff like that. And now it's the book I'm working on now is called When the Paranormal Becomes Normal. And to be honest with you, it's more and more and more the case that the things that were thought to be paranormal are now common practice and common knowledge. So it's sort of like, okay, where do we go from here? Where is the new paranormal? Science is having to accept so many things that it's unbelievable. And also the fact that there has to be more to all of this than they have been able to prove, and just because they can't prove it, they have discounted it. And the reality is that a lot of the things that they are wrestling with, Atlantis, Lemuria, they are basically saying, well, that's myth, that's fable, but you know, let's face it, fire was fable at one point in time when we were in the Stone Ages. It was a gift from the gods. And now we know it's a combustible thing, and it happens when you scratch two things together and you get a spark. So you know, a lot of the things that we are now making up fables about because we don't understand them, and part of it could well be the fact that you know, Stone Age man didn't understand fire and thunder and stuff like that. So he made up these stories, these fables about what caused them because he didn't understand them. I think in a great sense of the word, that because we don't understand our place within the universe, that we ourselves are making up these stories, these myths about the different races, the different aliens. I believe that there is a God or a oneness area. I do believe that there is a higher power out there. I also believe that there is probably a culture, a race, a species out there that we are a part of that is waiting for us to get over puberty and our primitiveness so that we can join the ranks out there. I have no idea if the little grays and the reptilians and all of them are out there. But because we don't understand them, we're making up all of these philosophies and their theories, and they're great theories, and some of them are probably dead on, and some of them are so far from the truth that frankly, whoever or whatever is out there is we could well be a cosmic reality show for them.
Well, absolutely, and I think that it doesn't matter within the energy of what we learn from the energy of a spirit as a whole. What we feel that works comfortable, because there's no rule book, as you know, Barbara, that there's no rule book to the energy of working with what you see and what you believe. And I think that, you know, we talk about this, let's stem back to the energy of where we go with spiritualism and guides, okay? And say, for instance, you've got a guide there that's a dwarf, or you've got a guide there that's a wizard, or you've got a guide there that's a normal person that might have lived the earth plane, or you've got a guide there that's an alien. Whatever works for you, whatever feels comfortable for you, is how it should be. And this is something that, you know, I've never questioned anybody that turns around and says, oh, actually, you know, I see fairies or I see goblins at the end of my garden. Not because I haven't seen them fairies and I don't work on that energy. It doesn't mean to say that, you know, I don't take it away. Why would they be written about? Why would these fables be brought up over the years? You know, we talk about witches and witchcraft and white witches and things that's very much in that's been documented in, especially across Europe and in here, especially in the UK, that this is a massive area of Wicca and witchcraft that has been going back for centuries and centuries and centuries. And there's so many different ways that we work with energy, and I think it's important for us guys to turn around and go, okay, it'd be stupid for me to disbelieve that I disbelieve that if I believe that I am connected with the energy of spirit? Because I think you've got to be open to every possibility within the energy of how we work with the energy of a spirit form. May it be, you know, the spirit of an animal that comes forward and talks to you. Maybe a spirit of, you know, a fish or a human being that might have lived in this dimension. You know, I think we've got to be open to every possibility because, you know, we talk about crystals every day. They live, they breathe, they vibrate. You know, everything has an energy. Everything is an energy. We are no different within that energy, but we are in a human form vehicle. So we only see what we know. And this is all about, again, looking outside the box, going to yourself, okay, I may well be taken in by the energy that, you know, a plank of wood sitting in front of me is a plank of wood. But it was a living, breathing energy of a tree. It did grow. It was something that was brought into this earth, and it has, you know, a feeling of where it is and where it sits within a time period of, say, the summertime when the leaves are growing, the autumn time when the leaves fall off. You know, we have to remember that everything is an energy, and I think no matter what it may be or what people look at within that energy, we cannot disbelieve. And this is all about unlocking your higher consciousness, unlocking any disbelief within you, because any little disbelief within you can hold you back and block you out to a higher vibration energy of something where we can open up and then see something a lot different.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally am with you on that. I think that what happens is we get caught with semantics, and because we're talking about experiences that we have no frame of reference for, we don't have the language to adequately explain what's going on. I have been in the presence of the powerful energy, and yet the only words I have to describe are powerful and energy, and the reality of what I'm talking about may well be something that's so very different. But all I can, you know, the only thing I have available to me to describe it is powerful energy. It's like the people, you know, back 2,000 years that were talking about angels coming from heaven or whatever. And when they talked about heaven, if you go into the Bible, if you look at the original work and the original language, the word heaven truly meant sky.
Mm-hmm.
So that they were talking about people coming from the sky.
Yeah. Well, this is a point that I was making about with Jesus and the energy of who Jesus was. Now, a lot of people would say that, yes, there was some sort of spiritual man here within the spiritual vibration. Could he have been the higher being? Could he have walked the earth to put a message out? No different to the energy of many energies that are here today working on that vibration. And the thing was, is that, again, going back to what you were just saying, The original transcript of the Bible, there's a passage there that said that the flaming chariots of the sky come down and took the energy of Jesus up. Now, when we look at the flaming chariots, if you describe a UFO, then you would describe it only as in a vehicle that you would know at that time. So the Romans and around that time would say, well, it was a chariot, as much as we would say it was a car that come down from the sky. We didn't understand what that was at that time. So, you know, you're totally right. You know, the thing is that we only describe what we see and feel within the energy of what we know. And I think that, you know, when we look at the energy of going back to the biblical times, the energy of, you know, many prophets around the energy of Jesus, i.e. like the disciples and people, these were people that, like a spiritual movement, an energy of people that were out there spreading a message about something that they knew on a higher conscious, that many people didn't understand, that, you know, Jesus was a miracle man. He was some sort of healer within the energy, that he could put his hand on somebody and make them better again, you know, and cure the lepers and bits and pieces. Well, that's no different from a hell of a lot of people today that are out there that are putting that energy through. There's more understanding than now within that energy and where we've evolved than thousands and thousands of years ago. And I think that, you know, if we look at many different things. Like I said to you there, you know, if we talk about the Mayans, we talk about the Hopi tribe, we talk about, you know, the Incas, you know, they all worshipped the skies. Now, why did they worship the skies? What was the important around the energy of that? Where did the energy of astrology come in? You know, these are all the things that we've got to really put our noddle to and go, well, hold up a minute. There's more to this than just looking up at the stars. Why are the stars situated where they are? You know, why have we got a zodiac of, you know, I say 13, we've got 12, but there is a 13th zodiac. But why have we got these zodiacs in the sky that are situated at certain times of the year that affect the energy of what's going on around in people's lives and their mood switches? And I think it's very important that we take notice of what goes on in our solar system and the changes that go on around that energy. Because, if we go back to the energy of Orion there, if you go to the top part of Orion, we've got what they class as Betelgeuse. We call it Betelgeuse, but there's a very red star up there that's about to go into a supernova, and that supernova's going to actually glow brighter than the sun actually when it goes into a supernova, and it's due at any point now. I mean, that can happen now, that can happen within the next 100 years, that can happen within the next 1,000 years. Scientists and astrologers astrologers, they were looking at that and waiting for that to happen. So what changes are going to affect within the gases, the energy that comes off that? Who knows?
Yeah, well, what I am fascinated with, and still nobody's answered my question about it yet, astronomy, the knowledge of astronomy was apparently very, very, it was there. You talk about the three wise men. They were astrologers. They were studying the stars, and they were led by a star. But you look back at the Aztecs and the Incas. You look back at the Egyptians. All of them had an astrological. Look at Nazca. You look at so many of these cultures, these ancient cultures that had this high technology at one point in time, and then suddenly they became stupid. So who taught them about the stars?
Exactly. And what we've got to remember is that, you know, the knowledge of construction within the energy of what we learn today within construction. You know, we've learned to construct over the energy of stuff that goes back to them times. You know, the Egyptian times. I mean, when we look at the Egyptian pyramids, okay, many people have studied the Egyptian pyramids and said, well, how were they built? You know, what we've got to remember is a lot of these stones that were, you know, that formed the pyramids of Giza were anything between 2 tons and 17 tons. And when we look at Khafu's chamber, and in the main chamber, the actual stones there are actually from granite. Now, there's no actual granite around the energy of that area of Egypt, so they would have had to be shifted. Now, these actual stones that are not only on the side walls, they're in the ceiling of the energy of the actual main hallway of Khafu's, leading up to Khafu's tomb, are 35 tons. And what we've got to think about is that not just the energy of how they were constructed. I think they're over 200 feet tall, these particular structures. What we've got to remember is getting the dimensions of flattening. So, I mean, they were dead flat as well. Now, what we have to remember is also, guys, they would have had to be very clever to get them precisely magnetic north and magnetic south. And I, you know, there was research done recently around the tombs of the pyramids, and also in front of the Sphinx. Now, there is three chambers in front of the Sphinx that the actual Egyptian authorities will not let the archaeologists dig. Now, they have done ultrasound to these chambers, and one of these chambers, actually, they have found a solid metallic object. And they're not allowed to dig there, but what is down there below, and what is this metallic object that is being hidden? Now, no one knows, and we're not allowed to know. But a lot of people have studied, a lot of archaeologists. I'll get my words out in a minute. Archaeologists and Egyptologists had been going out to Egypt, maybe studying the pyramids, and there's many theories that there was internal spiral staircases and bits and pieces to be able to build these tombs. But you still got to remember, guys, that if they would had to have, for the height of the actual main pyramid of Khufu's tomb, if they had to have a ramp there to pull these stones up, it would have had to have been at 7 degrees. Now, the reason why it would have been at 7 degrees is because they wouldn't have been able to pull it any greater than that. So they had all these thousands of men pulling these stones up, and they actually reckon that you can't have more than 20 people climbing up and down these pyramids as it is, because it's very unsafe and you'd fall off. But what you've got to remember is the external ramp to build these pyramids would have had to have been out over a mile long. Now, you would have had X amount of years to just be able to build the actual ramp, let alone build the pyramids. And the average Egyptian, and this is something that was brought up on a history channel, the actual average life of the Egyptians was around about 35. They didn't live very long because of the hard work and the living that they had at the time. And Khufu, believe it or not, lived to a right old age of around about late 70s, early 80s. So this is something that's quite unique. So they couldn't work out why Khufu would live so long. Did he have this power from the higher beings that was brought down to live a longer life? Who knows? I mean, we know that the average man can live to sort of in his 80s anyway. And he probably would have relished a better life and wouldn't have had so much hard work. But the fact of the matter is that why such a big chamber for one burial ground? Why such a big energy for just that purpose? What is the knowledge behind it, and why would you have to put that to the energy of lining up with a constellation? I mean, these are all the things that you've got to sit and think about.
Well,
let
me throw one more thing in.
Yep.
The stones were accurately chiseled out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't. All they had were copper tools.
Yep.
Now, you can't get that precision with copper tools. But let me take it even further. They were mined, mined, I guess is the best word, quarried in a place that was on the other side of the Nile and a great distance.
Absolutely.
Now, in order to get them to the pyramid site, they had to, if you're talking rational here, they would have had to float them down the Nile in order to construct a boat that was sufficient size to take these blocks of granite. You would have had the boat would have had to be larger than the Nile allows a boat to be.
Absolutely.
And then the other point that I'll just throw in, there's no wood to build a boat with.
Well, these are all the factors that we really have to look at. And when you think about the weight of the stones, you would have had to have a massive boat there, wouldn't you? You really would have done. I mean, I know that the Egyptians, the Incas were amazing. We're not just talking about the site of the pyramids of Giza. We're looking at some of the buildings that the Incas have supposedly constructed all these years ago. I mean, a lot of these stones, if we look at some of the sites of the Incas' sites, and we look at the energy of pyramids of Giza, you cannot get a cigarette paper between the stones. They're so precisely fitted that they're just, it goes beyond the apprehension of how they could have done it. And I think this is why we go back to the energy of, they talk about the ancient aliens. I mean, there's many, many factors about, I know you guys probably would have heard of ley lines.
Yeah.
Now, ley lines hold big energy. Now, apparently, ley lines are supposed to be flight paths for UFO. So that's where they originally got the energy of flight paths across the world, across countries, where these monuments, and most monuments, especially here in the UK, like Stonehenge, going up to other big monuments that are been there for thousands of years, sit on ley lines, and they sit precisely within lines. Now, these are supposed to be ley lines of where UFO or alien energy would have crossed the world. So they were formed on an energy level. So these are other factors that we've got to think about. You know, there's some amazing things here, and not just within the energy of on the ground. Did you know that they found another Sphinx just off the coast of Japan underneath the sea? Well, there is one there. There's also apparently documented that there's pyramids below the ocean as well. So, guys, if you don't know about this, go and Google it because it's out there.
Oh, you know, and they're amazing. They are huge.
Absolutely.
And they're trying to explain them, which I think is fascinating. But you know, you talked about the Aztecs and the Incas, and you know, how about are you familiar with Pumapunka?
Well, I've heard of them, but I'm not familiar with their energy. But I do know that, funny you talk about these different tribes, Barb, because I was told years ago that I was a Kaffir. Now, I was led to believe that a Kaffir was an African slave. But there was a tribe up in the mountain that kept themselves very much to themselves, that believed that there wasn't one god, that there was this higher energy. And they're actually called the Kaffirs. And it's not Kappa, it's Kaffir. And they were a spiritual community, a bit like the Hopi tribe, that were very much into this energy that they believed in, that there was this higher energy of beings or council or what we class as guides that ruled the energy of how we lived on the earth. And this is something that was quite a big eye-opener to me, because I looked into this a lot more later on down the line. So, yeah, so tell me a little bit about this particular tribe, Barbara.
Well, Pumapunka is in South America, and they have stones there that are cut very much like Legos. They have right angles. They have they can't explain what they were for. And they're lined up there almost as though they're on a construction site, and waiting to be put together, and they would fit together, they would slide together. They're very much, you know, in that order, but they're huge, they're massive, and they can't figure out, first of all, how they were made or why they were made. But I want to go back to the Egyptians for just a second. During the dynasties, when Akhenaten came into power, he was the one that did away with all of the gods, that said there was just one, it was the sun god, and he tried to convert them over to a monolistic theology. And he was, if you look at any of the pictures of him, you'll see that he was misshapen, and in all of the other temples they illustrated people as you know, strong and virulent and all of this, but when they have the pictures of Akhenaten, not only was he misshapen, and by that I mean he was very, very tall, very long and skinny, and his skull was misshapen. It was very, very elongated. And his son, Tutankhamun, and his wife, who was his sister, also had and have been depicted as having those elongated skulls. And you know, when King Tut came into power, he was a child, and in order to survive, he brought the old gods back. But the recent material that I've been reading is that they really feel that his father and he were hybrids, if nothing else.
Yes.
And that you know, it's saying, you know, here's the proof, here's right in front of you. Why aren't you paying attention to these? Are obviously, you know, not midgets and giants, but they are another species.
Yes, absolutely. And this ties back to the Syrian energy of this, how the Syrians look. Because if you actually go and have a look at this particular alien that is documented in this new film called, I think it's called The Sirius Project, the actual alien has an elongated head.
Yeah.
So, you know, this all goes back to the energy of people. When we look at the energy of Egypt, we looked at the cat people, they looked at the dog people, you know, we looked at the energy there of the people with the bird's heads, you know, all these different energies. You know, what we've got to remember is that when we look at things also like that was found in Brazil, the crystal skull, these are things that were found that many, many years ago that have been thousands and thousands of years old, clear quartz crystal with other energies of something there that's not from this earth, that has been laser cut. And there's nothing on this earth plane that could have done that at that time. You know, these are amazing feats. And I think that there is so many other places out there than these major sites that we're still learning about through the planet. But, you know, you've just got to say to yourself, is there more behind this energy of, you know, the links of Egypt? Everyone talks about Egypt. Everyone's got this link of Egypt somewhere in a past life somewhere.
Okay.
You know, how many people do you talk about within past life stuff through this work, and they'll go, I've got a link to Egypt. And I think that, you know, Egypt, and when we look at the energy of where Syria sits, Syria is next door neighbours to Egypt. And I had a vision. I say a vision, I was taken and I was regressed many, many years ago by a woman who walked into a shop, and she worked with a Syrian energy, and she walked into the shop and she said, oh my God, you're a Syrian. And she took me into regression, and she took me onto a point of a star, and the star turned into a mountain top. I was looking over Egypt, and I was looking over the pyramids, but I was looking at many buildings all around. It was green, it wasn't like a desert, it had a stream running by. The Sphinx actually was a lion. So the Sphinx was actually depicted and changed the head of the lion, because you look at the size of the head compared to the actual lion's body, it's enormous, the lion's body compared to Khafu's head that was supposed to be carved on it. When you look at the Sphinx, yes, it was a lion. Now, lions, Syrians, cat people, it all absolutely merges into one. You start to think to yourself, there's more to this than just the energy of Egypt. And why was Syria right next door? Was the Syrian energy rulers of the Egyptians before the Egypt sort of coming in, and the Egyptians took over? And was Syria an energy of where Syrians were, and then they called it Syria? So you've got to look at all these things and possibilities.
Yeah, no, I think our world has such greater depth and richness to it that we just sort of skim over, because of course the day-to-day reality is something we have to survive. But I mean, there's such, you know, I keep hearing the term hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
When the Great Pyramid, Khufu, you know, he wasn't buried in there. I don't think they were constructed as tombs.
Well, no, I'm a great believer that they were beacons. They were points to be able to come in on that energy, you know, from maybe landing sites or pinpoint marks that we could see from space, which you can. A bit like the Mayan temple. I mean, when we look at the Mayan temples, there is actually a runway that goes out through the jungle, and it goes out about 2 miles and then stops. So why would there be this sort of runway or this massive plateau of a landing strip? What would that be for? I mean, these are things that people may not know about, but you can go and have a look up, guys. I mean, you know, when you look at the Mayan temples, and the Mayans were great doing their buildings, no different from the energy of the Egyptians. But where was the help? I mean, I think it's the summer solstice, or there's one particular temple there or pyramid that actually on the stairs, when it hits the summertime and the main summertime, the summer solstice, it forms a shadow of a snake.
Yeah. You know, I think when you're talking about that particular complex, it is fascinating to look at how they are constructed, because those stairs were not meant for human feet.
No.
And so you know, the theory that it was a blood culture and that they had to crawl up and then their bodies rolled down easier because of the, that's not true. They were obviously constructed for feet that were not human. So they also look as though they could have been landing platforms.
Well, yes, because the tops are cut off on the Mayan temples. You know, I know that there's structures on top of them, but, you know, they could have been formed, these structures on top of these flatbed pyramids that were formed after, you know.
Yeah.
Many things were constructed after the point of when they were originally built. So, but you've got to sit there and think to yourself, why are these tribes and why are these different cultures that are thousands of miles away from each other all linked within the energy of the same thing, you know? They all talked about the energy of the gods from the stars, you know, the sky gods. You know, where does that come from? Because if you didn't believe or you didn't know about, you know, God or whatever, and this is, we're going way back before the energy of God and the Bible and what was constructed around that energy. What we've got to remember, guys, here is these were cultures that are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. Where would you get the energy of sky gods? Why would you come forward with that notion?
These
are people that, yes, they may have had a belief, but they could have seen an animal on the floor and said that they're our gods, you know?
Uh-huh.
But they weren't. They were talking about gods in the sky.
I have a theory. And you know, theories are unproven, whatever. And this is only my current theory, but it's worth thinking about. I believe that Atlantis was not an island, but rather it was, you know, we see all of these things, these UFOs streaking around in the skies, and we think, you know, God, they're big, and God, they're this, and I think they're interdimensional, but I do believe that all we're seeing are the taxi cabs, so to speak, and I believe that there is out there a mothership, for want of a better word, because I don't have the right word, but
yeah.
I believe that thousands of years ago, one of these huge motherships, these big ones, had engine trouble, and landed on the Earth. In the water, and around them they built structures so that it did appear to be like an island, and they were the aliens, and basically because they were stuck here because they had to repair their ship because they had to search out and seek whatever they needed, they were here for probably hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And, wait. So while they were here, they sent out emissaries to the different cultures around to learn about them, to gain information from them. And while all these emissaries were out in these different areas, they fixed the ship. The ship took off, and these people were left behind. And it is those people and their knowledge and their wisdom of the stars that constructed Egypt, and Belize and all of the other, and when they died, they took that knowledge and wisdom with them, leaving behind a legacy of their cultures from another dimension.
Absolutely. And I totally go on that concept because, you know, we are, you know, when we talk about being spiritual and being able to tap into the energy, you know, it doesn't matter if we're tapping into that energy, like we say, you know, around the other side of the world. Yeah, when we tap into the energy of stuff on a higher vibrational energy, does it mean that we're not tapping into another dimensional energy of something that is universal, is something that's out there on a higher source? But, you know, the list is endless. We are still learning and evolving. We may never know that through the next 100 years of our lifetimes, you know. This is something that is starting to quickly go forward now. I mean, when we look at spirituality, Barbara, as a whole, when we look at how it was taken away or people didn't talk about it through this energy of disbelief or that shouldn't be talked about, if we look over the last 20 years, it's rapidly increased. But if we look over the last 6 years, It's gone mad.
Oh, gosh.
Now, where is it going to be in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, you look at the fact that up to probably, yeah, I think you're right, 20, 30 years ago,
yep,
religion was it, you know.
Yep.
And then slowly spirituality started to come in. And, you know, I don't think spirituality replaces religion. I think it is the next step.
Yeah.
Because religion is divided into different philosophies, but they all come from the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them comes from the same source.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening is, culturally speaking, at some point in time, we will get to a point where everyone is spiritual and religions actually cease to exist because everybody believes the same thing.
Well, absolutely. And I think that when we look at the work, Barbara, and the way things have moved forward, if we look at mediumship compared to the energy of what we're seeing within the energy of physical trance mediumship, we're starting to see more of that come forward as well, where we're going to start to see more of energy talking directly through as a guide or a channel than what we're going to see is what we class as platform mediumship, where we're picking up on that half energy of, because I always say that mediumship comes in three stages, or trance comes in three stages, I should say. So you've got mediumship, where we're bringing through the messages. Then we might have the second stage of trance, where we're up on stage or we're up on a platform. Then we take on some physicalities, and that person will go, oh, hold up, you're starting to talk a little bit like my dad, or you've got his characteristics, or you're walking like him. Then the third stage is full transfiguration mediumship. And I think that the work is becoming more open now through the energy of what people, and I've noticed a hell of a lot of people coming into this business that have got incredible amount of knowledge that has just come from nowhere. And, you know, with starseed, there's two different types of starseed. There's born in and there's walking. Now, walking star seeds are a little bit different from the energy of born-in, because born-in, like myself, are naturally open to that energy, but we still progress to the energy of learning and learning and learning. But the walk-ins are quite strong, Barbara, because what they're actually doing is waking up, and this is where I like what the lovely David Icke talks about here, about when we wake up. We have been asleep for so long. We have been laying dormant within the energy of life and been in a sleep zone, being blocked out by this energy of what we only see and being covered by the TV set in the corner, what is put out there, that nothing should be talked about, that this all should be hush-hush. But people are opening up because this dimensional shift that has been happening leading up to 2012 has, when we talk about 2012, about this magnetic shift, our brains are working on a magnetic energy, a bit like how the birds direct themselves and fly south for the winter and fish and bits and pieces. Our brains are shifting. So our energies are opening up because the time had to be that it had to open up. We had to change the energy because we are having to now say, look, we've got to look after our planet, but the higher beings are actually saying, we want you to survive. These alien creatures are coming by to look at what we are doing to save this planet, because we are ruining what we have. And that's through the energy of greed and corruption. And these beings are coming forward as UFOs, whatever, acknowledging, finding out what's going to happen. And if you look at what's been documented, Barbara, over the last 20, 30 years, around specific sightings of UFOs. A lot of them have been around military bases. And they have found that a lot of these particular energies around were nuclear warhead bases. And they were actually, there's a couple of documented articles about where these aliens or UFOs were spotted over these Pacific military bases, and they had actually diffused the energy of the nuclear warheads.
Right.
And I feel that what we've got here is something of an alien being a higher energy, a light working, a universal light working energy, is something that's here to save us and give us knowledge back to ourselves to say, look at what's going on, guys. Look at where you are within the energy of your planet at the moment, and you need to turn it around. And if we can't do it through you, we'll do it through you. Because maybe these higher beings or certain higher beings that have never walked this earth plane, never walked on this physical, because not all aliens can be physically dimensional, that maybe these are, can't do it on a physical level, that they have to do it through the energy of our vibration, that they can do it through the knowledge of coming through, giving us guidance and saying to us, yes, we can love thy neighbour, we can give validation, and this has been happening for years, about who we are, who you've got over there within the energy of people that have passed over to that other dimensional energy and may not be on that higher dimensional energy to understand where they're sitting. But they're sitting in an area that is full of colour and light and not understanding the energy of time. Because when you talk to spirit and coming back to a mediumship base, spirit will turn around and say to you, you know, it's full of light. It's got beautiful colours. It's got this energy of time that you will not understand. So within that energy, no, we are still evolving. We're still learning when we go through them other dimensional shifts. But we will, may never get to the energy, or maybe we will, get to that higher source or the, where that higher council of energy sits. And this is something that is pretty much talked about within the Kabbalah. And this is something about, I don't know much about the Kabbalah, but I've read a little bit, where we go through these time factors, where we get to this higher stage, and then we get up into that higher consciousness. Now, there is an energy that sits above the Kabbalah, or this higher energy, that we don't know about, or we may never understand about, because we're evolving all the time. But we've never got to that dimensional shift. So, what is going on within the energy of this UFO activity? Are we now learning and gone through a higher process of understanding over the 20-year shift of where we've become knowledgeable about how we can validate, how we can connect with spirit, how we can be within that energy, and not just within the last 20, 30 years as a whole of working and putting it out there. Talk about thousands of years that, you know, the Buddhists, the Mayans may have sat there and connected. You know, we've connected and we've been used to that connection, but what was the purpose for it? I feel that over the next 50 to 100 years, maybe within the next 3 to 4 years, who knows, that we are going through a speeded up time of spirituality now, where doors are starting to open to understand that there is something more than just validation. And I think that that's what we're starting to see now.
Well, going with the assumption that as a spirit, I mean, because that's what we are, basically, don't we have total awareness? Don't we have total grasp of the universe? And then when we come into human form,
yep,
you know, a lot of that wisdom knowledge is locked away. I mean, don't we bring into the incarnation all the tools that we need, and it's our job to unlock those doors? I mean, they say we only use about 6 or 7% of our brain, and yet I do believe the brain is not just an empty warehouse. I think we've got a tremendous amount of wisdom there that we just aren't accessing.
Well, it's interesting because when we talk about the brain is made up just of water. Water is a very strong element, as we know. It's one of the five elements, or four elements, of the earth. But what we've got to remember is, Barbara, is when we look at the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is a retina, it is the third eye cortex. Basically, when we look at that pineal gland, you know, it is very significant to the energy of, you know, when we talk about fluoride and not putting fluoride into that, when we look at the government and then they're putting fluoride into our waters, we put fluoride into whatever we have. You know, there's this cover-up within the energy of something that I feel is more out there than we actually know. And I think there's a lot that is covered up within this physical dimension. Yes, you're right. We are brought into this earth, to this physical, not just to learn about ourselves, to probably learn about this planet and try and, or learn about this test, which is meant to be. We're meant to have this place. But the spirit know we're meant to have this place because we have to go through it. No matter what we do, we have to go through this physical. Because the physical, we understand what pain really is. We understand what physical pain feels like. And the higher beings may not know what that is, and they learn knowledge from that physical dimension. So I feel that you're right. We do have a lot of knowledge coming in, but we are blindfolded and we're taking it away. Because how many children come in, how many children do we look at that come in and are very open to spirit up until about the age of 6 or 7, and then it's all gone because all of knowledge of life and no, that's not true, no, that's a myth, no, that's covered up, you know, is taken away. And I think that this is the reason why there's a big blindfold over the energy of this particular virtual reality of life that we live in. And I think it's a shame. And I think that we are starting to change it. I think them changes are coming in. And I'm sure that what we're starting to see now is a rapid change and movement within that notion.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think I truly believe that babies laugh because they have total awareness, and we're so stupid when we talk to them that they just can't believe that on some level they may think that's our level of evolution. But yeah, culture, teachers, environment, religion, all you know, pour so much information into the consciousness when in the early years that the element of spiritual awareness just kind of is shoved way in the back. And then as we hit our 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond, that's when we're trying to get rid of all that other stuff and get to the real meat of what's going on. I've met so many people of late that, and I as well sometimes think, you know, much as the earth plane is fabulous, and I know I've spent probably thousands of lifetimes here, I don't think it's home. I think that maybe the human body isn't what my consciousness is most familiar with. And I don't know whether I'm thinking that an etheric form is more likely what our natural form is. And isn't it possible that our soul's journey isn't just, you know, through this lifetime and then beyond, but it's through becoming different species all along and different planet experiences, so that some of us may have experienced. I mean, I'm very drawn to Orion's Belt. That's where it feels like home is for me.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that it was in a human form.
Well, this is it, and I think that, you know, when I say I'm a starseed, I don't say that's me. I'm labeling myself as a starseed here only. I think everybody. You know, everybody's a starseed. We're sitting in the middle of a universe. We're sitting on a planet that is in the middle of the universe. We're made up within energy of the universe. And this is what I'm saying. You know, we've got to think outside of it. How many times do you step out into your garden at night, look up at the stars, and forget everything that's happening around you on the physical plane? You go and step out in your garden tonight. If you're out in the States, I mean, it's dark out here now. If you stand out there and look in the stars tonight, all your troubles are taken away. Because you lose the concept of the physical dimensions of life. The physicality of this dimensional life is taken away from you. And that's because, really in theory, we are sitting in an energy of something of a great test of something of a lot of negatives. No matter how much goodness you have in your life, there'll always be some negative that comes in, or some pressure or obstacle or test. And I think that when we look out to the universe at night, our troubles do go away. And why is that? I think that's because there's nothing out there that can cause that energy of physicality. There's nothing there that can give you that notion that's going to sit there and go, well, that, you know, if I look at the stars and if I was wandering out in the stars or in space, then that is going to give me anything that is just calmness and peace. And that is the reason why I think that when we come into this physical dimension, when we go through these traumas, and a lot of people do go through a hell of a lot of traumas in life, you know, maybe the very minute little things that we get stressed out, we get, you know, tied down by this rat race of life, you know, I think that it, you know, we've got to understand that we can take ourselves away from that. Now, maybe is that through a meditation? Yes, because you're taking yourself away from that consciousness. It's no different from the energy of when you look up at the stars. And this is why people get great peace when they're looking out at the planets and the stars and the sky, because it takes you away from where you are here. And this is because I feel that you, you know, when you tap out to those star energies or that universal energy, you know, you've taken yourself away from this planet. Now, I totally get, you know, that this is quite new and this is quite open to a lot of people, and people go, okay, well, where does that time with spirituality and where my work lies, Barbara? Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm like yourself. I never felt that I belonged to this planet. I always felt that I wanted to come away at this time. I hated the existence of the earthly and what it gave to us. You know, I went through life. My mum and dad got divorced when I was 6 years old. That's pretty much when spirit opened up to me. Now, was that a coincidence? No, I don't think that was. I just think that I was needing something of a release to find what I needed for comfort. So within that energy, was that an alien energy entity coming forward? Was that a higher being, light worker energy? Who knows? Who really cares? But it was giving me the energy to give guidance to other people, to learn more about the deeper consciousnesses of life, to understand that we are here and spirit here as a guidance and not a magic wand. You know, we have a free will in life, and I think that they can only guide you as much as they can, and they can't intervene within the energy of what goes on through this physical test of life, because one day may have never really about the people that have passed. They're not allowed to interfere, no different from how they would be within the energy of giving advice from when they were alive. But I know that they're not allowed to intervene within future prediction. So what I mean by that is that we can predict and it may come forward, but you had an option to get there, or that option might have come forward through many other validations to prove that your journey's going where it's going, but you've got to have that belief within inside yourself. And I know that within the energy of my work and where my guidance comes forward, you know, people will still make mistakes. People will still go forward and make that wrong mistake. And I'll give you a notion and an understanding what I mean by that process. Is that if I turn around and say to you, okay, you're single at the moment, and that person will say, yes, I am. And I go, well, okay, in the next week, you're going to go out there and you're going to find a man, and he's going to walk into your life, and you're going to live happily ever after. You could turn around and say, well, okay, I'm going to prove the psychic wrong, and I'm going to stay indoors for the week. Didn't mean to say that that man wasn't out there. It just means to say that you took a choice on not to take on that notion and that possibility that that man may still come into your life at another time and may not be there. I always say that life's baited in some way, and we have to go through a test, or you weren't ready for it at that time.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, the one thing I wanted to mention to you, so many of us, so many people, are looking for something outside of themselves. And
yeah.
And my husband used to say something, and I'm not sure it was his. Probably not. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear somebody say something so often it becomes theirs. We are who we've been waiting for.
Yes.
So that you know, a lot of times you hear people saying, well, I'm waiting for the masters to come back. I'm waiting for the sky people to come back. I'm waiting for Jesus to come back. But the reality is that's who we are.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of claiming that legacy left to us by ourselves.
And I think this is I think we are all, as human beings, you know, we're very greedy within the energy of what we want and what we desire and what we really know within inside ourselves. Because, you know, when you're set out on this earth plane, you know, you may well have been somebody that was spiritual, but, you know, life took you down. I'm talking about schooling, this life, this rule of life. Parents would have said, well, actually, you need to just go and get yourself a job. You need to be the doctor. You need to be the builder or the nurse or whatever it may be. But within yourself, you'll find yourself in time. You're only going to be the person that you were meant to be within life, and you'll find the energy of where you are meant to be. And a lot of us know deep within inside ourselves what we actually feel, but we choose not to take that guidance within our own inner voice. And I think sometimes that's a little bit sad, the that we don't. And we all, even us guys that are knowledgeable, we do that as well, because you know, a lot of the time I've questioned spirit, and they turn around and said, "Well, actually, the gift is not for you. We told you everything about your gift. You wouldn't learn yourself." So I know that within that notion that I've had to make mistakes, like many other people, to get to where I learn more about the physicalities of life, as much as within that energy of spiritual guidance and how spirit works. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Barbara. And I think that the fact is we have got this knowledge within inside us. We just get it wiped from us from the energy of what's going on around on the physical.
Well, and certainly when we come into a human environment, sometimes we need to trigger what we already know. And sometimes the lessons, the life lessons that come our way are those triggers. I know certainly I wouldn't understand relationship as well as I do, and I'm not perfect. I want to underline that. I'm still learning. But my experiences that impacted me on an emotional level triggered awareness inside of me that made me understand to a greater degree the purpose of human relationships and what we have to how we have to function in order to have a successful one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we are always evolving, no matter if it's in this physical dimension as much within the dimension of not being physical. What I have learned through the energy of trance and through the energy of, you know, being the medium as much as being not in that full physical trance state, that spirit will teach you that this is only one part of your learning lesson. This is a very short space of time, this physical journey of this lifetime. You know, to us, it can feel like, you know, it will be 100 years, it will be 60 years, it will be however long. But to them, it's a very short existence of an internal evolving continuation of understanding. And that is something that we've got to get our heads around, that, you know, even though this can be a very long, drawn-out energy of a physical existence, it's a very short space of time of your learning. And who's to say that you may not have to come back down on this physical again within the energy of coming into something of a new vehicle to go through that process to learn all over again, as in a reincarnation feel. And your energy may still be on another... I mean, my energy might be sitting here now and could be way out there in another dimension. And we talked, you know, there's been many talks about hologram worlds, but, you know, there's been talk about hologram worlds that people have actually, you know, astrally projected and found themselves in another dimensional world looking at themselves. And this is things that have been documented time and time again. And who's to say that we just don't understand this great, immense knowledge of what we class as lives, or this whole one big life? You know, the matrix of life, the matrix energy of what we see around us is so complex. You know, we look and see what's in front of us. Is it really there? That's how deep it gets.
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, people get so caught up with just survival, they forget that there's so much more.
Absolutely.
And you know, if you don't survive this life, you'll survive the next. I mean, I'm not that callous, but you know, I really plan on staying around for a long time yet. But the reality here is that this is not just a school; it's a celebration, and it's a way of coming into our own. And maybe it takes 1,000 lifetimes. Maybe it takes 1,000,000 lifetimes. I don't know. But the spirit within is on such an amazing journey and adventure that you know, they keep talking about space as the final frontier. I don't agree with that. I think the journey within is the final frontier. And that's where, you know, we'll find the magic, and the magic is my word for the day, I guess, and the magic that is within that enables us to ascend to another dimension.
We are powerful energy, You know, the universe is a powerful energy to create the energy of what we're seeing around us and what we have within this universe. But you're so right. You know, the inner vibrational energy of what we see within front of us within that universal energy is part of that process. And, you know, space and time can divert inside itself as much as so can we. And this is something that we are learning to do, is that we are starting to realize that we are more powerful of beings than we actually give ourselves credit for. You know, we can manipulate the energy of so many different things. You know, we can manipulate the energy of mood in a room. If you could walk into a room and there's an atmosphere, you can change that atmosphere and energy just by brightening it up and telling a joke. You can do so many different things to change and uplift the energy of people. And it doesn't mean that you've got to be the greatest healer in the world within this work. A healer comes in many forms. A healer can be your mother. It can be your father. It can be your children. The healing process is a very powerful thing, and we all have that energy to be able to heal each other. And this is no different from the energy of being a psychic healer, within the energy of healing, within the energy of grievance through mediumship. We all have that energy to be able to do that. We all have the energy to be empaths and pick up on other people's energy. We all just have to learn to be able to tap more into that energy to be able to make that happen.
Oh, yeah. And, you know? And the thing, too, I think some people don't realize that one of the greatest healing tools there is, and one of the most important things that I believe that is a part of spirituality is that laughter is one of the best tools that you've got. And if you can get somebody to laugh, you can plant a seed that will grow and flourish.
Absolutely. And there's been many times when I've looked at this work and I thought, whoa, it's all too serious for me. I'm very much the man that likes to have a laugh. You know, when spirit come through, they're no different to how they were on the spirit of their human physicality, you know. And I think that we've got to remember that, you know, it's not all about doom and gloom. It's not all about making somebody, you know, cry within the energy of hitting something on the head within the energy of a validation. It's also making them cry with laughter, knowing that that person on the other side is no different within an energy in another dimension as much as they were on the physical side of life, you know. And of course, laughter, you know, singing is an energy. When you go out on a ghost investigation and you're laughing and you're bringing the energy forward, you're making energy come forward and interact with you. And it's very important on that notion to remember, guys, that, you know, laughter, fun, crying, you know, fear, they're all emotions. So when we fear something, then we feel the energy getting closer because we fear it because it's an emotion. It's a strong emotion.
Right.
We're opening up on the heart chakra. We're going, oh, God, I fear that. So we're opening no different when we offer the love connection to spirit and we push out that love and that unconditional love to bring in that energy. Because a lot of people think, oh, yeah, well, you know, how does mediumship work? Is it because I believe with my head? No, you're believing with your heart. You're believing on that motion. As much as when you fear something, you go, oh, I fear that, then it gets worse, that energy or that feeling around you. That's not because spirit is there to hurt you. It's because you're bringing that energy open. You're opening up your heart chakra. You're opening up to the energy of spirit, and you're bringing it closer to you. Doesn't always mean to say that it's negative, but a lot of people get that concept because of what Hollywood's made it.
Oh, geez. Well, and you know the term. The term is enlightenment. It means to lighten up.
Yep. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It, you know, if you ritualize, if you get serious and somber, you know, stop and think. Serious, somber, ritualistic, it pulls you down. Celebrate. And there is light. I wanted to ask you also, are you familiar with the fable about how when the gods, notice it was many, created humanity, they said that it was, they would create them within their image and give them their gifts, and after they did create them, they realized that they had given man all of their powers as well, and they sat back and they said, whoops, we can't give them that much power, that much awareness, that much insight because they're not ready for it. So we have to hide the knowledge. Where are we going to hide it? And they deliberated for eons. And, you know, we're going to hide it on a planet. No, they'll find it in the deepest sea. No, they'll find it. And finally an old crone came forward and said, I'll tell you where to hide the knowledge that they are all powerful, where they'll never think to look. And they and everybody turned and looked at her, and she said, hide it inside of them. You'll never look there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we're always frightened to do, is to look inside ourselves, because we sometimes fear the energy of what's inside. And that's something that, you know, we're starting to learn, that we're dropping our barriers with inside ourselves now. We aren't frightened to go deeper with inside. People are taking this more of a risk to find out where they are with inside their own energy, you know. And I think that, again, we're frightened because life puts this energy of emotions, of stuff that we are used to, what we've seen within our consciousness of past stuff, you know, and we lock it away. Now, we lock it away because we don't want it to open up, but we're going to get past that. And this is something where, you're right, you know, we do have to find it, and we do have to look inside ourselves deep enough to get past the obstacles of the deeper, the lighter emotions that lie within us. And that's something we find very hard to do.
Well, sure, and you know, the only thing that really limits us is our own ego, is our own consciousness. I mean, if we could let go of the ego, if we could let go of the concrete humanality of ourselves, we would be able to get into that spiritual aspect and probably have an amazing world, culture, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, as humans at this point in time, I think that we're also caught up in our own personal journeys. That the fact that we are a single family, you know, the human species is a family. We're all one. And as soon as we understand that we need to take care of each other, we need to love each other, we need to, embrace the difference and the uniqueness and the eclectic choices that we have made. And at that point in time, we do let go of those restrictions that we've put upon ourselves on some level, and that's when we flower, that's when we grow, that's when we're ready to step forward into a greater brotherhood where I would imagine we start the whole trip all over again, but just on a different map.
Well, absolutely, and we do, of course we do, and I think that this is something that we'll continuously always do. And even though we'll learn more about what goes on within this physicality of life and this human test of life, I think, like I said earlier on, we will keep evolving through learning through different dimensions. And maybe when we look at this physical dimension, it's a very early process within that journey. You know, it may seem old to us, but it's not very old at all. And when we talk about the energy of when we're connecting with spirit and higher knowledge, then yes, but if we look at the dimensional levels of where spirits sometimes get trapped in other dimensions, then they're having to learn about how they come away from them as well, you know. And I think this is something that we will always learn through these dimensional, like an onion energy of different dimensions that we will go through. And I'm sure that we will continue to keep learning. We will continue to keep going forward. But I think at the moment, we still really got to keep focusing on what we need to be learning on this one.
Well, you know, if indeed we are the children of the gods, whoever they are, or whatever they are, then you just kind of wonder if on some level, in some way, while we have children and we raise children and we emulate the gods in doing that, do we someday become a being or an entity that will create a universe someday?
Well, who's to say that this is the only universal dimensional feel of what we know as? There could be thousands and thousands of thousands beyond the knowledge of what we actually know about. let's take it back to the energy of films again, because if you look at the energy of the Men in Black, we could be a big ball of marbles in someone's pocket. Who knows what it is, but I think the main thing is what we need to know is what we learn, need to know is and learn is about us. And you're totally right, we have to learn about us through this physical test. And at the moment, this is what we are here for, is to learn about this knowledge of this physical, how we get through, how we guide through that knowledge through ourselves and to give to others. And I think that it doesn't matter too much about the energy of what's going on after. That time will come forward from the energy of the higher beings, and that's starting to come forward now. We know where this shift's happening. But it will happen when it's meant to happen, a bit like spiritual development. Spirit work with us and not the other way around.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But we have to be open to it. We have to be ready to be open. And I know a lot of people who say, well, I'm open, I'm ready, and yet nothing's happening. And I always say that if nothing's happening, then maybe you're not as ready as you think you are. And
yes.
You know, that's not meant to be a judgment. Is just, you know, there are lots of times where I've said, okay, I've learned that lesson, let's move on to the next, and I hear laughter like, oh, no, you haven't. And, you know,
I think, and, you know, there's so many times through my work with spirit that I thought that I was ready to go forward on a professional level to go out there and work as the full-time medium, and I wasn't. You know, I would never have dreamt of going forward within this work on a level of working, you know, where I was working full time with this to give out the knowledge, unless, you know, that they had said to me, now you're ready. Because there's many times that I tripped up, Barbara. You know, it's okay to validate. It's okay to be as sensitive to the energy of spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel that you've got to know when the time's right, and spirit will guide you to the right time. You'll just know when it's right, and that is something that will just happen when you know it's right and when you feel that you're comfortable with inside your own life, that you know that there may be blockages that you need to clear within your own life. That's when the time is right, when you've got nothing on the physical that's blocking and holding you back. The spirit will say, you've got that to deal with. You've got another lesson to learn before you go forward and be able to guide somebody within that notion.
Well, I've always found that, for me, anyhow, I wait for the call. You know, I tell people I have a calling. I truly mean it that way. I wait to be called, because if I make the call myself, the chances are it will be a wrong number.
Mm. And the thing is, sometimes when we're working with spirit, and we are still learning from the energy of spirit, I still learn even 32 years down the line, connecting and talking to spirit, they will always give you something back within a message, because you will always learn something again out of that process, you know. And I think that that's also important for guys that are out there that are developing and going, well, you know, once I'm there, does it mean that I'm there? No, it doesn't mean that at all, you know. You've got to learn from an energy of a mistake within your work, or an energy that, you know, you think to yourself, well, hold up a minute, why am I going through this energy of a blockage at the moment through my work? You know, there's many reasons for it, and the main reason is that, you know, spirit are looking over us and going, well, you know, at the moment, you've got stuff to deal with on the personal, on your physical dimension of life. You've got to go through that, and that will wake you up even more greatly within the energy of where your guidance comes within your spiritual side of guidance. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that is always ongoing. And, you know, Barbara, what it's like, you know, spirit can pull back sometimes through the energy of our work and say to us, look, deal with what's going on around you at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I think people have got to be aware of.
Well, yeah, I think also that the day we stop learning is the day we die. Because if you're not constantly learning, growing, and stretching, and reaching for more, to embrace more, then there's no point to the life.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you're going to school to be a medium or a psychic or whatever. It's a matter of life teaches us, and every day has amazing lessons for us to gather if we're aware, if we open to the possibility and the potentiality of it. I think that there isn't a day that goes by that, that whether it be in a reading or whether it be in life in general and trying to pay my bills, that there isn't something that I don't learn and go, oh, crap. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is, because we're never going to learn everything in this life. You know, we've had to learn to live in a physical dimension. So if you say you're instantly, for instance, you're opening up and you've only been developing for 2 years, how do you expect to learn everything in 2 years? You've had to learn as much as you've had to learn. You haven't learned it all in this physical life. So you're not going to learn how spirit and that life or that dimension is all going to be about in 5 minutes, you know, like they say, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No. And we don't come to mastery in even 1,000 years. Grant, I just noticed the time. This has been such fun. I so enjoyed this. This was a fun afternoon for me. And you're going to be back tomorrow, and we will at that point do readings, and all of you guys that called in for readings, tomorrow's the day. Today was the day to get to know Grant, and we haven't even skimmed the surface of the potential that's inside here. So I will drag you back again and again so that I can pump you for more stuff.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure, and thank you for having me on tonight, and I'll be on again tomorrow.
Absolutely, and if you'll just hang on, I will put the music on so that I can kind of let the show kind of end itself. I want to thank everybody for being here. This has been an adventure for me as well. And guys, come back tomorrow from 4 to 6. We will be here doing readings, and we will play with spirit and see what spirit has to offer us. So thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for having you. Chat room has been amazing, although I think you had a life of your own there for a while. So take guys.